All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Not So Dom and Colin podcast. I don't know if we have a name yet. I still don't think we do. But if anyone has any suggestions out there of what we should be calling this, feel free to let us know. But in the meantime, we are back to recap episode 3 of the challenge, War of the Worlds 2. Already off to a great start. This should be a fun episode today. It's we've got myself, usual co-host over here, Scally. How are you doing?
I am very excited. If this call was about half an hour ago, right when the episode ended, I would have been probably screaming into the microphone because I am very hyped. As I, being, you know, full transparency, I was getting a little worried about this season that it would be a little run of the mill. The reason why we were seeing the conflicts in our team was that there really wasn't going to be much else to show. So I am thrilled that we got what is a near perfect episode for me.
Yes, and talking about near perfect, we found a near perfect guest to join us tonight. You know him from creating all the theme songs in the world or anything else that you've heard his name a million times. We have the great Will from America with us tonight. How you doing, Will?
Honored to be here. If I didn't have three cavities in my teeth, I would be perfect.
I did see your tweet about that today, and it reminded me I need to call the dentist because it's been at least like a year for me, and I try to go more often, but I need to get back there.
Yeah, apparently you're supposed to go twice a year. I thought it was like twice a decade, so right. I was a little off.
They definitely always scold me when I get there, and they're like, you haven't been here. And I'm like, yeah, no, I know, but I'm here now, so just let's go.
I get it, Dad.
Right. And then they tell you not to. And then they always get on me for like, or it's probably everybody. They're always like, oh, no, you're not flossing enough. I'm like, I'm literally flossing as much as I remember to. Give me a break. So that's my complaints with the dentist. But how are you? Welcome to the new version of the Dom and Colin podcast, the upgraded version.
I'm doing great. You know, I love my milk fat free. I love my Dom and Colin podcast, Dom and Colin free.
Just the way we like it too. So what are your thoughts so far on this season? You know, I saw your tweets tonight, which just for behind the scenes info for anybody listening, the addition of Will to this podcast tonight was very last minute. Saw him tweeting about the episode, knew that he was watching, and I was just thinking, we definitely want to get more people in here, and this is just a perfect time to just jump in, slid into Will's DMs, and here he is. So yeah, what are your thoughts on the season so far, Will?
Yeah, definitely the latest I've ever been invited to a podcast, but you know, no, I'm not complaining. It's better than not being invited at all. But I had similar feelings to Brian through the first couple episodes of the season. I was starting to get a little concerned that the U.S. team was just going to steamroll everyone, was going to dominate, and I was a little worried Idris was going to switch teams the first episode and then just create like this cycle of. Or a snowball effect sort of every UK person just losing every challenge and jumping ship to the other team. And we'd end up like 20-8, 4 episodes in. But this episode gave me a very strong feeling that that's not going to be the case. It seems like the US team has just gotten so confident in their ability to win challenges that they're just playing with house money at this point and going absolutely insane with their strategic decisions, and it's making for a good season.
Right. So, Scally, you also said that, you know, this episode kind of rejuvenated your hope for the season and made you feel better about the direction that it might be heading in. Is it just, you know, this one result of what just went down that just to set things up, we just lost Wes. Crazy choice to go into the elimination from Josh, from Laurel. The way that things played out tonight were just not the way that things were seemed to be looking to be playing out. If you were just paying attention to the last few weeks, we had, just two rookies going back to back. It didn't seem like anything crazy was happening, but we just lost a major player. So, Scally, is this what we're doing going forward, or are we going to go back to where we were last week?
It's definitely not about the result. I'm sad to lose Wes. I actually think, you know, the team dynamic is going to be a little less interesting without him, but I'm excited to see that it's not going to be, okay, let's get all the UK rookies out of the way for the next 7 to 10 weeks, and then we'll get to the actual season, you know, 3 months in. So Wes is a hard one to lose. I hope he comes back for, you know, a third season in a row, but it's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make in order to make this a little more unpredictable.
Yeah, my favorite part about this episode is just knowing that Wes is not done with the challenge now. I mean, I don't think he is. I don't think that I was genuinely concerned about that. But there was rumors that after, you know, like with the first season that he and Nani came back for, which was just last season, that they had signed a 2-year contract or 2-season contract. Sorry. So this obviously being the second season of that, I'm like, is he going to do that thing where he runs away again for God knows how long? But seeing the way that things played out for him here, he'll be back. If not, like right away, this isn't the end of the Wes story on the challenge. So very, very happy about that idea. Any overall takeaways on Wes, Will, from America?
Well, we're definitely getting a Wes and Bear pair for Rivals 4 in the future now.
Yes.
I think that's an inevitability of life. I'm a little disappointed that the Jordan-Wes rivalry that was brewing that we hadn't really ever seen in previous seasons sort of just fizzled out this episode, and Josh was the one who was the Dragon Slayer, if you will. But, you know, you can't ask for much more as far as entertainment.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about how Wes was not set up too well for the season, and it hasn't really been looking that great for him so far. Obviously, he got a little sick last week, and Bananas was, you know, poking fun at him, saying, "Oh, well, the game isn't going how Wes wants." So of course, now he's not feeling so well. Comes back in, and he seems to be doing just fine, at least health wise. But then things just kind of spiral out of control, and we've talked about this also about how why Josh is such a specific casting that is like a unique kind of casting to the show. And we saw tonight why they cast Josh Martinez. We saw why we need this kind of player in the game. And Wes isn't used to playing with a Josh. Wes did play with Josh, but it was a different season. It was a different kind of house. Wes had no idea that this was coming.
Yeah, no one ever made the mistake of giving Josh power in the first War of the Worlds.
Yeah, I could not believe how surprised Wes was. I mean, watching that elimination, just the momentum that was in Bear's favor, I think, mm-hmm. carried him to that win. Bear was ready to go. He wanted Wes. He wanted, you know, exactly that setup just to have that big moment of taking down Wes potentially, and he went into it with confidence. Wes went into it having, like he said, no idea that he was going to participate in the elimination that night. So am I correct with that, Scally, that it just seemed like Wes had no idea what he was in for?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's filming this confessional after the fact, knowing that he already went in. But when Bear calls him down, he's saying, I don't even need to be prepared for tonight. I'm just showing up to watch like my entertainment. So it definitely seemed like Wes was caught off guard. I think it also did lend to, you know, the Bear's advantage. But I like what you said about Wes definitely not going out in this way. So I'm enthusiastic about seeing him in the future, too.
And I can't have been the only one who noticed, because we know that they filmed the confessionals after the elimination, that Wes had like a huge cut on his face that didn't seem like he might have had that from the challenge. So I was a little suspicions were raised going into the elimination, just seeing him have that cut. I was like, come on, like after the fact, and you know what happened. I was like, they couldn't have put some like makeup on that to cover it up a little bit. So that kind of, you know, annoyed me a little bit, but it is what it is. So Wes is gone, but we're at the end of the episode, so let's go back to the beginning. So we get back after the challenge. Georgia realizes, you know, she kind of looks around. She sees who was rooting for her, who wasn't. And so does Team US. They very clearly noticed that Josh was rooting for Georgia, while the rest of them were hoping that she was the one who goes because she is a strong player on their team and blah, blah, blah. So now everyone's looking around at Josh like, all right, you're on this team. Time for you to prove yourself. If we win the next challenge, you're going to be the speaker, and you're going to help us by getting rid of a big player on their team. And Josh is like, yep, that's fine with me. So, Will, any thoughts on the way that things were starting to unfold so far?
Yeah, well, you know, everything just went according to plan. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, not exactly.
Not exactly. I guess this makes sense, like, for them to say, Josh, okay, you're the only one rooting for Georgia. You clearly have ties to her. Even though everyone in the game seemingly has ties to someone on the UK side, I think it was just easy to throw Josh in because, you know, he's a new player. You know, he can be a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they really knew what they're getting themselves into.
So here's my something that I noticed. Tell me if this sounds correct. I feel like the people who were not on last season really don't like the people who were on last season. And I'm talking about the people like the Joss and Rogans who were on two seasons ago. They don't seem to like the people like Bear and Theo who came in last season. Like, they didn't cross over on the same, they didn't, you know, jump in at the same time. It seems like Joss and Rogan, even though Rogan went out so early, they kind of have this, like, we were here first kind of thing. And it feels a little similar with Josh with an H. He, it was his first season last go around, and some other people who haven't really met him before are kind of like, all right, don't really know who you are. You're still a rookie.
Yeah. And later we see Josh bonding pretty well with Bear and Dio. Like, he seems to be in with that crew.
Right. So there's like a camaraderie between the people who were on last season and the people who were not on last season. Like I'm saying, I feel like that's where a lot of this tension's coming from.
Yeah, I will say, even you have someone like Ashley who went out early, Cam, who I don't know if she really was bonding with too many people from the UK outside of Theo. So you could see that they're also like, they're resentful of people that do have relationships that they weren't able to form. So I think that's a really interesting dynamic. And then you have someone like Leroy, of all people, who's like, we're going to set a hard and fast rule. Like, when did you wake up? Because I haven't seen Leroy like this like energized in 7 seasons. So I was curious to see who was ultimately laying down the law, because there's about, you know, 5 or 6 names on that team that I would have put before Leroy for sure.
Yeah, Leroy waking up and deciding to play the game was definitely the biggest blind side of the episode, like in front of what happens at the end with Wes. Like, far and away, I was way more surprised to see that Leroy was thinking and making a strategic move that wasn't just, let me hang out in Banana's room and wait for him to finish his shower and come back and we'll cuddle all night. So Leroy's awake. You know, that didn't really go anywhere, but maybe in the next coming weeks, he'll have something to do that isn't just following his buddy around. To be determined on that one, but we do get a little bit more about Bear and Laurel back at the house. It seems like things are heating up a little bit. They sneak off to, I think, the bathroom together, and whatever happened in that room, we won't know because they're not telling. So, Will, how is the Bear and Laurel showmance playing out for you? You surprised? Do you ship them?
I mean, I've always questioned Laurel's taste, and that does not change today.
You're not a big Nicole Zanata fan?
I don't know. I was at first, but I don't even want to get into all that.
Are you excited? Nicole Zanata will be on X on the Beach season 4, I believe, that's coming up in the wintertime. Are we
really
looking forward to that?
Who's her ex?
Who isn't her ex? I'm pretty sure that Jenny is on as one of her exes, and Laurel's on as one of her
Wait,
exes.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Have you not been keeping up with the casting stuff? It's I totally forgot that Laurel was there too. Laurel, Nicole, and Jemmy will all be on the next season of X on the Beach. As
I had no idea that Jemmy and Nicole were ever a thing.
Neither did I, but that's the same case for half of the people that go on that show. They just you know, were together one time, spotted, and now they're exes. So that should be a
spotted
fun time.
Coming out of the bathroom together.
Right. So and maybe this will, you know, maybe Bear will show up. I don't know. I don't think he was there, but that would be quite a fun time. Bear continuing to prove why he's like the best person on television ever. And that's my take on Bear.
Yeah. I was not the biggest Bears fan last season. I didn't find him that entertaining. I have to say tonight has changed my course on that.
I appreciate that. I know why people don't like him. It's very obvious. Plus there's also, like, you know, stuff in the real world that maybe has happened that, hard to say, but Bear is one of the most entertaining television personalities of all time.
Yeah, and I think, like most reality TV personalities, he's really getting to shine now as an underdog, because we didn't really see that many people going after him last season. It was really just him versus Wes, and he had the whole UK crew behind him. But now, like, with his whole team against him and his back against the wall, I find him much more endearing, even though he's still, like, a very shitty person. It's much more entertaining to watch.
Well, is he the underdog, or now that he's the big grizzly bear, is he going to shine and take over his team in some spectacular fashion I don't think that's going to happen, especially now that he acknowledged, you know, I'm going back to Team UK. I know I'm still in the bottom, but like, that's my team. So I guess we'll have to keep an eye out on them to see where things go. So that's what's going on back at the house before we get to the challenge. Bear is a little bit angry, to say the least, because he volunteers that, you know, if we win this challenge, I want to be the speaker, and everyone's laughing at him. Why anybody on Earth wouldn't take Bear seriously, I couldn't tell you. But is there anything, you know, anything to really to bring up here, Scally, or is it just Bear being Bear?
Well, I thought it was funny how you have Idris say, like, oh, I want to be the speaker. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, let him. It's like, he's been had two confessionals on the show, but sure, let's have him. And whereas Bear, who we were at least led to believe had an alliance with multiple people on this team last season, no one takes seriously. What a joke. Don't even, like, try raising your hand. So I thought that was at least interesting. Like, I know that he has the rivalry with the Josh Rogan duo, but all of a sudden, Kyle doesn't want to listen to him. CT could care less. Not one person on the team wants to take him seriously.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love Bear as a television personality, if I ever had to be in a situation where I was working with him and needed to trust him in a leadership position, I would feel the exact same way that all these guys do. It's not happening. I'm not down for that. Maybe if it was like week one and somehow, like, you know, everybody's still on the same page, everyone's all lovey-dovey, friendly with each other, no one's firing any shots yet, then it's like, all right, Bear, go ahead, have fun. You know, we just won our first challenge, but this is not happening, you know, anytime soon, especially if the whole Kyle and Joss and Rogan team have anything to do with it. So, you know, we do check in again with Joss and Rogan, who are extremely tight and clearly have a big hold on their team. They sound like they're pretty close with everybody. So we're going to get into the challenge, and this challenge involves another memory thing with a little different of a physical aspect this time, where they have to unlock all these puzzle pieces that are eventually going to form the flag for their team. This was kind of fun, I guess. Will, was the, I mean, this was, it wasn't that exciting, but I guess for the result that we ended up getting, it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I think the most fun part of it was the, well, jumping ahead a little bit, yeah, the UK team very boisterously celebrating their victory, and then it being revealed that they did not actually win because Theo ripped off two of the locks.
Right. Yeah. You tweeted that had to be coming, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, you yeah, saw him do it. There was no way that they were just gonna, you know, let that pass over. But it was exciting for a couple minutes while we thought that the UK might actually be winning one, you know, fair and square. But of course, yeah, Theo had to go and ruin that. And TJ hates cheaters, and that didn't end well for them.
Although I guess given the outcome we got from the episode, it might have been for the best that the UK lost.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably, you know, if you ask anybody, going to continue to lose. It just seems like that's the trajectory that they're going on. So yeah, to see them possibly, I'm sure Scally would have loved that because his team is still pretty heavily depending on the UK getting a couple wins in there for his draft team.
Yeah, definitely would have hurt. I agree that ultimately we got the episode we got because Team US won, but I was so excited. Oh God, Team UK is going to pull ahead. They're finally going to. And then we get Theo, like, oh, I just pulled it off the lock, broke it. And so I really thought, like, oh, this episode is like Theo's karma. He's going to go in against Bear. Like, he was getting highlighted so much. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, not the case. I mean, just to see the Team US struggle so hard, it did give me like a little bit of confidence that maybe this won't be a steamroll moving forward. But see how it goes ultimately.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And Wes is one of their best challenge competitors, I would say. So it does hurt the team a lot with him going home.
It does. And I know that Pauly took it extra hard. I saw a short clip right before we got on of Cara Maria was talking about how Pauly was so hurt because Wes was like, I guess him and Wes were really tight going into the season, which, I mean, you never know who's working together. You know, Wes puts out all those calls. Somebody's got to answer. So it sounded like they were tight. Plus, like you just said, Wes is a strong player. He knows the puzzles. He knows the physical things and just little tricks and whatever to get around and make sure you're doing these challenges in the right way. He's done a couple of them and he did well last season. So, you know, he had a little bit of confidence, even though things weren't going his way. But that was just completely wiped away from them. So I was going to say that I thought it was funny how the challenge producers have no faith in any of them to be smart enough to put together a puzzle.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah, they put the puzzle pieces, they had to alphabetize them in a way by putting their names on them so that it would take a complete idiot to not be able to put the puzzle together.
So yeah, it's like, here's a puzzle that you have to solve, guys. But by the way, the pieces are numbered 1 through 16 in the order that you have to put them together.
Just coming off of like a very fun episode of Survivor Australia where, you know, the puzzle is like, well, I mean, this is any episode of Survivor where it comes down to a puzzle. Who am I kidding? But you just have Jonathan LaPaglia screaming, the puzzle, the great equalizer, the puzzle could make or break, blah, blah, blah. So that's like ringing in my head. And then I'm like, oh, no, they're just going to tell them exactly what piece goes where. So, you know, Jordan and all those guys easily get those together. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think my favorite part was actually that you have Team UK, like before it's announced that you cheated, they're like ripping their pants off, Rogan and Dee are making out, like they're all like screaming in Team US like face. It's like, bro, you guys cheated, like let's calm it down over there. So it was just so funny. I, like, they just looked like complete fools, and then it's like, oh, like, calm down, now you're good.
Definitely noticed like that someone's before. Pants came down. I don't know who it was. I don't know if you guys do, but I was just trying to get screen caps while I was also like writing notes.
Of the
I
pants looked up down.
Somebody had no pants on. So that was that was a amazing moment of celebration, just in order for them to lose. So yeah, the UK is not going to walk away with the win here. Zach was talking about how he was planning on throwing Theo in if they win, but Josh is going to be the speaker, and Josh is ultimately going to pull in. He pulls in Zach and Zach and Laurel.
Yep, that was right.
I didn't have that written down, but I was pretty sure that's what was going on there. So, and Scally, give me an update because we haven't really talked about this, but should we be including tribunal points in our draft?
I really like seeing how, I don't know if Josh talked his way or if it was Leroy or someone else's faulty strategy that let him get a hold of this speaker position. I don't understand where this is the guy we trust the least, so let's make him prove himself. Like, no, just wait till you have to throw him in, right, and then get rid of him. Just keep it between, you can have six people take it back to back to back. So just keep, you know, the strong people that you're trusting. I get that the team is kind of a mess in general, so I don't know if both alliances would agree to any specific person, but I don't know who was trying to throw Josh's name in the ring to start.
Yeah. Will, as somebody who has once scored one of the drafts that we've done for us, what do you think? Should we be giving points to the tribunal people? Because we haven't been yet, just because it kind of seems like they're not doing anything to earn that spot there. But they also do have a great amount of power, which was used tonight. Should we be giving them anything?
I think no. I mean, like, they have safety, which means that they're going to last until the next week. So you're getting more points by them staying anyways. So. Yeah.
I do agree with you. Of course, though, I noticed that two people on my team were in the tribunal tonight, so I had to bring it back up just in case there was something we were going to do to change that.
With zero on my team, I'm going to say no.
Oh, okay. And I also had nobody winning any special challenges today, so I was like, let's see if we can work this out. No, but I do agree. I don't think that it makes sense to give them any points. It's so random the way that they're getting picked. I do think later down the line, the picks are going to get a little bit trickier and people are going to be fighting a little bit more, and we're going to see some kind of like hand raising for a majority eventually, which they've been doing a lot of, but it's not really doing much for them. Either way, we get the tribunal, and before we move past, I have a note about Zach at the challenge talking about how he feels like a turd floating at the top of a toilet. Feels about right.
Yeah, that's a good descriptor for Zach, actually.
Yes, I couldn't have said it any better myself. We've been trying to say it for how many podcasts now, and Zach put it into the best way possible that we could have ever framed it.
And we also Italian get, kiss.
We also get Turbo talking about how he's very sad for hamsters and he would love to set them free.
Big fan of like the random Turbo confessional, like one or two a week, not getting the most screen time, but you get exactly who Turbo is in that 30 seconds.
Yeah. So anybody out there listening, if you're anywhere near Turbo, if you see him pop up in your town, lock up your hamsters because he's coming to set them free. So yes.
Also give him a big hug.
I would give Turbo the world. I would give him absolutely everything and anything he asked me for. So the UK wins. Zach pulls them in for the tribunal. We get back to the house and we see Ashley, Ninja, and Cam talking about how we need to get Theo in there. Theo is their strongest player. Last week we took out, or we tried to take out, the strongest woman on their side. They put Georgia in, and now it's the guy's turn to take out a strong competitor, so they better be pulling through with that. And as things start to pick up in the conversation, to heat up in the conversation, Josh makes it pretty clear that he's not locked in on his vote. Scally, did he play that okay at all, or should he have like pretended like he was doing what they wanted, or how did Josh do with this?
Part of me is really wondering with Josh, and I don't know if I'm going to give Josh as much credit, or does he show up to this season and know, like, my team is going to throw me in as soon as we lose a challenge? So is Josh planning to get on another season where he might have a better chance? Because in that case, well, everything that Josh did tonight makes complete sense. All great moves. But in the case that he's competing to win this season, I think they were right in saying Josh was showing his cards a little too early.
Yeah, fair. I think, I feel like I've heard it more on the UK side, but I'm sure both sides are thinking this, that if they are in teams now, they want to go to the final with the strongest players. This isn't, you know, in a typical season where they want to get out the stronger players early, just, you know, anybody in the game. They want to get the weaker players off their team if they can. So I can definitely see that being the case, that Josh would have gotten thrown in. So, you know, good for him. He's at least, at the very least, like you said, making his place known that he wants to be here for another season. He's not going to, you know, play Wes's game. So he's going off on his own. And how funny was it that Laura was sleeping, not sleeping? That was a great setup.
Yeah. Josh is definitely playing the game to the game within the game of the game to get called back for another season.
You don't say. I can't imagine that's the case. I mean, that doesn't sound anything like Josh. But I mean, he gets called out a little bit here because he's, you know, Ashley's like, he's playing Big Brother. He's trying to go back on his word. Yeah, well, he won Big Brother. So don't be surprised if he's trying to play Big Brother. People were calling Paulie out for that a couple seasons ago. It's like, these guys literally came from that game. Like, you can say that they're playing Big Brother because they probably are, but I don't know where that's going to get us. That's what they know.
And also bets on how many people from the challenge watched Big Brother.
A decent amount, honestly. I feel like I've seen a couple of them tweeting about it lately. I mean, Ashley in particular, she hasn't stopped tweeting about Nicole and Big Brother 21 and how much she's enjoying it. So love to hear more of Nicole, Nicole too, but Ashley's Big Brother takes. And I mean, I don't know how well she would do on that show, but would love to see it.
Get Ashley on the LFC roundtable, honestly.
I don't know why she hasn't already been there. I'm with you on that. So Ashley is another one of those, like, in the same kind of situation as Turbo this season, where I feel like she's just being used for funny confessionals, and that's great. I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. To throw back a little bit, Scally, were you surprised to see Cam being so gung-ho about throwing Leroy in? Because it seems they totally forgot about Cam and Leroy's relationship, which was like a big part of the storyline last season.
Are we saying with Theo throwing in? I think that I really don't know with Cam, to be honest. I think that she likes to put on this persona of being like very game-minded and all for the team and whatever. I don't know how much Cam and Theo really continued talking after last season, so I'm not entirely surprised, especially when it's seeming like the idea of the team is that, like, we don't have any friends over there. So I think that Cam isn't set up the best coming into the season, so probably needs to make sure that she's not standing out too much.
Yeah, something that I heard pointed out by Ali Lasher on the wrap up the last week was that we saw so much about, or maybe not so much, but we did see a little bit of Cam, Leroy, and Theo in last season and how there was like a lot of drama there. And it really hasn't come up at all this season. It hasn't been relevant in any way so far. I mean, I'm sure we potentially still have a lot more time with those guys if, you know, Leroy is never involved in anything until he gets booted out in the first place. So I wouldn't be surprised if that comes up later. But also, Theo's been involved in a whole lot of other drama on his team, so maybe it's just not going to come up. who knows? But yeah, so Theo is not doing so well along with Bear over on the UK side. There's some drama going on, especially as Theo is starting to drink a little bit too much. Or maybe they're all just drinking a lot and Theo is just saying a little too much. And it's not looking good between Theo and Rogan as we're getting ready for the deliberation.
Yeah, this is where you could see it in Theo's eyes. Like, he's gone. There's no, he's not making any sense. So I would say this is where you see the Theo that we saw on Love Island come back a little bit. The Theo that we saw on night one of War of the Worlds 1 with Ashley, getting into a big argument with her. So I kind of forgot that this Theo existed, but, you know, he got into that gear tonight and it wasn't a good look, first of all, but also I think it'll decent amount of damage in rising his profile on his team in terms of if Bear was not there, Theo may not have been so lucky.
For sure.
Yeah, and it seems like from things that he said to Kaylee in the first like couple of days of the game, this Theo has really been there a whole lot of the time and the edit's just been sort of hiding it.
Yeah, and I'm starting to believe that. I mean, or not starting, I do, I'm believing that. It seems like there's been a lot of bad stuff coming from things that people are saying about him, and he didn't get a bad edit last season. He was edited as just kind of somebody that was there. He was Kara's partner, so you know when you're attached to Kara is going to get most of the storyline anyway. And then towards the end of the season, obviously they went off on their own. He ended up coming in second in the final, and I was really high on him. I still am high on him as in terms of being a competitor, somebody who can do well physically on the show, but it seems like his social game is not up to where I would like it to be for somebody on my team. So I did actually go out of order here. That was all of this stuff kind of happened after the deliberation. So sue me for going out of order. That's completely unforgivable in the podcast world. I do know. I do understand that. Sorry, Scally. I hope that's okay.
It happens. No, I jumped down the page in my notes. But what I did like from this, CT was completely me in this situation. This is where I was like, all right, maybe I'm okay with having CT back. Where he walks into the room where they're all talking, he goes, so you guys gonna fight or like completely instigating was a peak CT, like dad CT.
Yeah, he's one to talk after his confrontation with Josh last week. But so what are we up to here? We have a lot of people, I guess, deliberating back and forth if they think that Joss should go in from the U.S. side is still trying to figure out what's going on here, what they're going to end up doing. And some of them want Joss to go in. Ashley's like, well, I beat him in a final. And I'm like, yeah, you did. Love that. Love that we're getting an Ashley highlight about that. But yeah, Josh isn't playing Wes's game, blah, 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 blah. So we get to the deliberation and it seems like there's not a whole lot to deliberate on here. It seems like everyone is pretty locked in on Bear going into elimination. Scally.
Yeah, no. So what I would say first is it shocked me how the Team US was like, yeah, but Joss sucked in his final. Like, he's not good. It's like, is that what happened? Or was he just, like, narrowly beat out? And it was a wonky final anyway. So good for Joss that he's not being targeted this early. But I see him as much better than Bear and probably on the same level as Theo, if not better. So was surprised there. Same thing happens to Bear here where he starts speaking, the entire team laughs, like we're all voting him in, there's no question, tries to call out Idris, but it doesn't really seem like Bear has any footing in this group.
Yeah, Joss, I think, is it's funny. I was thinking during the episode how much he went to bat for Rogan. It's like Sylvia is definitely at home watching this, like devastated that Joss never fought this hard for her. Like when people are going after Rogan, he's like, no, that's my guy. Like if you come after him, you're coming after me. When Sylvia was getting into fights on a couple seasons ago, I don't think that Joss was really as invested in it as he is now. So,
No one put a quarter in him.
Yeah, you're right on that. So sorry, Sylvia. Hope that you're doing well wherever the heck you are these days. Do we miss Sylvia?
I'm a big Sylvia stan.
I think I am too, but
I wouldn't be upset if she showed up on X on the Beach season 5, but I'm not like begging for the return.
Yeah, that's a good spot, I think. I don't know if she has... Does she have, like, notable MTV exes, or, like, would we have to find somebody from her personal life?
Are we bringing Bruno back? Because I think we're past that point.
Who? I mean, I know who, but, like, who?
Yeah, exactly.
Bruno Aiello?
That'd be quite the twist.
Where are we in this deliberation? That Bear kind of points out, and I didn't really think this was going to be a thing. It was a little highlighted earlier in the episode when we were kind of getting set up, like, it's Joss and Rogan versus Bear and Theo. But Bear says, like, CT and Kyle think that they're in the Joss Rogan clique, but he's like, they'll get ditched eventually. So I don't know if that's something to watch. I thought it was interesting for the perspective that Kyle and CT, who seem to be running the team, may actually be, you know, following Joss and Rogan's lead, or were they trying to play the middle and ultimately their hand just got forced this week? I think it's an interesting spot that they're in together.
For sure. I mean, Will, what do you think about CT's, like, role within this team? It's something that we've been keeping an eye on, especially since he, you know, was sent to, he wasn't picked by the US team, and now he's just kind of floating over in this area with the UK, and he doesn't have any, like, strong, like, previous relationships with these guys, but there's got to be a level of respect there that they're listening to him and he's working with the people on top over there. So what do you make of, like, CT's role so far on that side?
Yeah, when they first announced the whole mutiny mechanic, I thought CT was going to be the prime candidate to be the one to flip over to the US side, but now I'm not really so sure. It seems like he's really integrating well with especially the Kyles of the world over there, and it seems like they all really respect him. I feel like he might honestly be in a better position staying in the UK side, or at least staying there until the very end and flipping at the last minute.
Yeah, I feel like between him and, like, Kyle and Kaylee, there's a couple of people who I feel like are very much involved in what's going on, but they're not really... Like, it's not like their names are getting thrown in. They're kind of like... I feel like they're all involved in the decision making, but for some reason we're getting it completely through Joss and Rogan's eyes and through whatever they're thinking and what they're setting up. For each round, Kaylee especially. I feel like Kaylee keeps talking about how she's good with those guys, and we know about her relationship with Cam. So I feel like I have been keeping an extra specific eye on her. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But I don't know. Do you have any strong Kaylee takes? Kaylee strong takes?
Will, I think we know my feelings on Kaylee, so I think this is going to be Will's question. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm a big anti-Kaylee guy.
Oh, the right answer.
That's all I got to say.
As you should be.
I think what she did to Natalie is, like, one of the most despicable things that anyone has done in the challenge history.
Yes, and for some reason, we keep bringing her back as if we need to have this kind of person on our screens. But
we just keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, conveniently.
Yeah.
So that's that so far. So I guess this is eventually after the deliberation. Bear is the one who's going to get called to go in. And this is where, I guess, his showmans with the one and only Laurel is coming into play, because as soon as he gets called in, you kind of look up and you realize, wait, Laurel's sitting there. She's not going to want something super bad to happen to this guy, even though he's saying, like, I'll go against anybody. Put me in whoever you want. I've been training. I got this. Laurel's going to want to have his best interest in mind, right, Scally?
Yeah, no question. I mean, we saw them locking toes earlier in the episode and Laurel saying, Bear's the total package, which, I don't think that many people have said about Bear in this context, but in terms of a TV character, total package, signed off, I don't know how far Laurel's going to stick her neck out ultimately for Bear, but Laurel's kind of a wild card, so I would not really put anything past her, you know, with a hard line.
Have either of you ever locked your toes in with any other person? And I need honesty.
I never locked toes until Matt.
I'm pretty sure yes, but I just feel like sitting there bored. I don't know. Maybe if I was a betting person, I would say yes, but I could not recall the specific instance.
All right. Well, now I'm excited for your episode of the Taran Show in the future.
Well, what about you?
This full story? No, I've never done that. I mean, not that it's like the weirdest thing on earth, but I've just never sat there bored and said, hey, put your toes in my toe.
Well, I don't think I really initiated this, but
I don't know. It sounds like you might have. So, We'll
is it non-consensual toe interlocking?
So yeah, that's one way to connect between Laurel and Bear. So yeah, I think Laurel's obviously trying to protect him here. And as things played out with, you know, Laurel was asleep in the room, but not actually asleep. She overhears Wes making comments about how Josh is expendable. And Laurel takes this, runs to Josh and says, listen, Wes just said this. Let's do this. And they're jumping up and down and throwing a big party. And I love Wes so much, but I was here for it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This was so exciting. This is where I was like, okay, I'm just taking notes on an episode to like, I cannot look at the screen right now. Like I need to see what's going on. And to, like you said, to see that Wes was potentially in danger, like I'm nervous, maybe, you know, 10% of me, but 90% of me, like, this needs to happen. I need to see this happen now. And it's sad to lose a big character. I would have been sad to lose, you know, multiple people, but the sacrifice is worth it in order to see like this challenge blow up and not become predictable for the next few weeks.
Right. Yeah, I'm such a huge Wes fan in terms of what he brings to the show, but I think this is where the challenge really shines over a show like Survivor, because if one of my favorite people ever comes back and there's like a plot to blindside them in the third episode, I'm just going to be wrecked, you know? But with the challenge, it's like these people come back every season. So it's okay to see this huge name go out in episode three and know that, you know, they're going to come back and get revenge. But in the moment, it's just great entertainment. The move didn't really make sense at all.
Oh, but none.
It was just very entertaining to see.
Yeah, but it's Josh. That's the thing, that it's Josh. The move doesn't have to make sense, but he's going to make it anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. He's just going to bang those pots and pans.
There's a conversation that the whole conversation where Tori's in the room and she's like, so Wes, who do you think they'll put in? I mean, I don't know why she's asking Wes when Josh is in the tribunal and sitting right next to them. But Wes is like, oh, well, we all agreed on Theo. And Josh is like, well, like, not so sure about that. And he's like, I'm not going to be intimidated by your logic. And ultimately, which is like, I don't know, interesting, whatever. But I kind of looked at the way that Wes handled this argument and like highlighting, oh, Josh isn't trustworthy and he's going to betray us. I feel like Wes knew his spot on this team and knew that he was not trustworthy himself for the majority of people, and was kind of using Josh as a scapegoat in order to lessen his target and being like, well, look at this guy who's openly saying he's not going to do what I'm pushing for Theo, but this guy's not. So I thought it was interesting, but maybe you don't want to do that in the only week that Josh is going to have power.
Right. I mean, I guess up until this point, which to be fair, it's still super early, but I don't think they were actually thinking that anybody would throw somebody in from their own team. You saw the reaction when it ended up happening from both teams. They were both like completely shocked, besides like the couple of people who knew. They were like, whoa, like, how is this happening so early? I don't know. I mean, in one sense, they have been winning tons of challenges, and it seems like that's not stopping anytime soon. So is losing one player really going to hurt? But also, that one player is Wes, one of the strongest players on your team, and it definitely could hurt you. Hard to say, you know, going what it actually is going to do for them, at least for Josh's personal game. That's one less guy who's throwing a target on his back. So, of course, you know, he's going to pull the trigger on that. But in terms of like keeping the team strong, it really kind of hurt them, I think. That's my takeaway. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Josh is going to Josh, and Johnny Bananas is very happy with this outcome.
And to think about it from Wes's point of view, if you assume that Josh is a totally rational player, you've got to think, well, if Josh is going to throw someone from our team in, then clearly he's just going to be the next target on our team. But it's Josh. You can't assume that he's going to do anything rational. Mm-hmm.
And like we said earlier, Wes was just totally unprepared for this. It's just not something he ever would have seen coming. Even with, you know, Paulie was like his number one guy, and Paulie seemed to have a very good sense that this might be happening, because he pulls Josh aside and he's like, listen, dude, I know you're emotional right now, which people need to stop calling Josh emotional, because he doesn't take it well, and he doesn't want to hear it. And yeah, he's an emotional player, but you need to talk to him and play to his emotions and not just be like, hey, you're being too emotional right now, because then he just gets angry and wants to work against whatever you're telling him to do. So I don't know why people that have been friends with Josh for years don't really understand this by now, but is what it is. So yeah, I'm just trying to say, I'm surprised that Paulie didn't know well enough that this was going to happen to Warren West. Maybe West did know, and I'm reading this wrong, but it just did not seem like he did know that he was going to be going in.
Yeah, it's so hard to not look at someone else and assume they're going to react the same way that you are going to react in a situation. Like, it's just the default. You're going to say, like, I'm going to approach this how I would want someone to approach me. And for someone like Josh, even someone like Bear, where you say, like, you're too emotional, you're a wild card, whatever you say, they're going to respond by being emotional, being a wild card, and proving you exactly right. So you have to come to them and, like, appeal to their emotions rather than intimidating them with your logic. So it's Paulie. I don't even know if maybe Paulie had the better approach, but Zach right away was like, listen, you got to do what we said. It's like, okay, this is not going to work well with Josh.
Right. And it's, yeah, like you said, it's a similar thing with Bear. These players that are just not thinking with the most logical head. I 100% agree with what you said. You have to play with them, not tell them what to do, because they're just going to rebel against you. And I don't know. I don't know how on earth I would react to playing with a Bear or with a Josh, but I just, in the meantime, am loving watching it play out. So yeah. So any takeaways from anything else before we actually get to the elimination of anything else that was going on back at the house, with the UKs that were the Brits that were fighting with each other, with Johnny Bananas is talking to his team and he's like, if you guys are thinking for one second that this is still a team game and not individuals coming into play, then you got another thing coming. So any other takeaways from all that?
I just want to comment on Rogan's confessional where he mimed breaking Theo in half. And there was like a blood spurt animation. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Interesting editing choice. I did like the scene with Laurel and Bananas strategizing, because it's not a duo that I would have automatically put together. I know that Laurel is probably on the Jordan side. I'd probably throw Bananas and like Nani over there as well, if not kind of floating in the middle. So interesting, because like I've said, Bananas is getting apparently confessionals, but I don't see him on my screen. So always interesting when he's popping back up. And for him to also throw in that, like, seeing Wes eliminated is more important than winning a final for me right now. So for him to get the revenge of sending Wes out on a season early was also something that was like funny to have thrown in there.
Yeah, I mean, Laurel hasn't been in a season in a while, but she knows how, you know, she knows how things have been playing out, and she knows the dynamics between these people that she's known for all these years. So obviously she's well aware that if there's a plan forming against Wes, the first person you go to ensure that they are aware of what's going on is Johnny Bananas. And Bananas is just eating this up. He loves this. He's never going to win a season again, which, I'll stand by that take that was started by, I believe, Jemmy and everybody else who has believed that Bananas is cursed. But yeah, I guess if this is his win, that he gets to see Wes go home before him, good for him.
Yeah, I was going to say it's easy to care about Wes going home more than you winning a final when you winning a final isn't really on the table anymore.
Yeah.
But it's still interesting to see it called out.
For sure. What are your takes, I guess, on Johnny Bananas before we get too far away from him, Will? Are we ever going to see him win another season? Should he still be here?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much on the same page as you guys. I think it's possible for him to win maybe a big team season like this if the teams do stay together and he just happens to stick around to the end. But I think he's just such a big target now, and he's really not at the cream of the crop athletically anymore. And we've seen that be proven time and time again when he does get thrown into eliminations, that he is very vulnerable.
And I think he is completely losing his place as well. Something I was thinking about, because he had something going so well. Well, not so well. I mean, it was really cringeworthy and uncomfortable for a lot of people. But the whole thing with Devin, like, that's where Bananas was like finding a spot to continue his storyline going. And that's where he was like that rivalry that was forming. It wasn't Bananas and Wes, but it was getting there. And it was, probably honestly got there. And all of a sudden Devin disappears for like two seasons in a row. And now this is just kind of, we're seeing Bananas float in like the middle of nowhere, just kind of there, but not actually like involved in a whole lot. I hope that Devin isn't done, because I thought that he was getting to like a really prime point, I guess, in his career. Honestly, no, there's no way he's done. I've still follow him on social media. He's like super ripped now. I don't know how that happened so fast, but he is like jacked out of his mind, and he's definitely ready for the call. So he, you know, is coming off this season of X on the Beach. So I guess we'll see, you know, when he gets back in there to mix things up with Bananas. But that has nothing to do with this episode. So I've gotten way off track. But I assume that you guys are with me on hoping that Devin isn't done.
Oh, yeah. Big Devin guy. Still in the MTV world, at least. So it's encouraging. Yeah.
He'll be back eventually. I guess they're trying to finish this trilogy or whatever they're doing with the, you know, a couple seasons of all these UK guys, which, I mean, they're not going to go away, but this has to be a trilogy, right?
I'm not so confident. I was going to bring it up at the end, but I'm assuming you caught the commercial that was like, we're casting at like Tough Mudders and yeah, whatever else. Like, are we having fresh meat again? Or are they going to bring in like some fresh meat along with like more UK people and more Big Brother people? That was very, very interesting, I thought.
I didn't catch this.
It was a thing like go to a Spartan challenge and go to mtv.com/casting or something to if you want to be on the next season of the challenge or something like that.
That's strange because I feel like, you know, we see that for like Survivor, Big Brother, the end of a Big Brother season. It's like outrageous, outgoing, be the next Big Brother house guest, move in next summer.
Good impression.
Thanks. But we don't see that for the challenge. We know where they're getting their people, and they don't usually tell people to apply. So, yeah, I missed that, but I'll have to go back and watch it. I already imagine they have plenty of places to take rookies from the U.S., considering they've been taking all of them from the U.K. lately, and I am hoping that a couple of our Big Brother 20 friends potentially end up on it. But, yeah, I don't know. That'll be interesting to keep an eye out as filming probably starts in like a month and a half.
Yeah, especially because the only way that we've seen just like complete newbies come in that have never been on another show is through a fresh meat format. And I can't imagine we're getting a half cast of complete newbies. And then what? We're going to be Bananas, Cara, Maria, and that's it, like at a certain point, because like the turnover will be incredibly quick if that's the case.
Bananas, Cara, and Pauly, I think, is
basically the lock.
And Kyle.
Ugh, Turbo.
And good. Let Kyle be a lock. I don't know why there was like a time in my life where I did not want that to be a thing. Now I just don't want Kyle to.
I understand why, but I'm appreciating Kyle. Like his joke when the team UK loses and he walks in the house, he's like, me and Laurel are in a relationship now. So Kyle's great. He's making funny jokes. He's the other options on the UK team, which are making him look better sometimes, but definitely here for Kyle right as it stands right now.
I know we're extremely off topic now, but I think last season really made me a Kyle fan just with how chill he was about the whole Cara Pauly situation.
It was the time that he was like attached to Brad that I was kind of like, this is not my favorite duo of all time.
Yeah,
by any stretch of the imagination. And that was his second season. So, I'm pretty sure it was his second season. So we were just kind of like, all right, so here's this guy and now he's with Brad and I just want them both to leave. And then agreed with you that last season, I think he shined a little bit better. And now even this season, I'm just like, I love you so much. So that's Kyle. I mean, all of the UK team are wonderful, and I'm happy that they're here. Just listening to them fight with each other, the insults that they throw around, I'm like, I've never heard that in my life, and it's just the best thing. I want to call everybody that, even though it's probably completely inappropriate.
Yeah, definitely. I'm surprised that some of the words would make air here, but I am definitely a big fan of the British slang. Bring more in, like, onto my TV. Always going to be down.
Yes, absolutely. So I think we were at the elimination before we started talking about Devin and Sylvia and whatever the heck we were just talking about. So we get to the elimination. Wes gets called in, and it's going to be Wes versus Bear. Bear is super excited. He's ready to go. He's, you know, and we're kind of looking at these two like, wow, we're about to lose a big player, regardless of who it is. So the way that this works is that a cannonball is going to go off. It's something that we've seen a million times before. You got to chase the ball, bring it back to your bin to drop off the ball, and first person to successfully get two of them is going to be the winner. And it's not very close, which is surprising. Bear takes it in two rounds.
Yeah, it was surprising even first, like seeing Wes and Bear stand next to each other, because I always had in my mind that like Wes was had some size on him at least. And so seeing them next to each other, I was like, oh, Bear has definitely, I mean, I knew he was working out, but he definitely put some size on. They're completely comparable. Like we said, Bear was ready to go into the elimination. Wes definitely seemed like he was not. So I was pretty sure early on that this was going Bear's way, because I didn't think we saw the last of the Laurel Bear relationship.
Yeah, I'm with you. Do you I guess, you know, we kind of covered our takes about Wes leaving here, but any thoughts, I guess, about Bear and his, you know, going forward now, Will?
Yeah, I agree with what some of the I forget who said it, but someone said it seemed like Bear had been working out in the off season, as short as the off season for the challenge is. Mm-hmm. I definitely think he's been doing his training, eating his spinach.
That's exactly what I envision Bear doing in all of his off-season time. And we get a comment from Nani at some point towards the end of the episode where she says, as annoying as Bear can be, he belongs in the challenge. And yeah. That rings true. That's exactly my thoughts. I mean, again, would not want to live with him myself. Actually, maybe I would. I don't know. That would be a fun time. I think if I ever did, like, if I like left a shoe in the wrong place and he decided that I was going to be the person that he hated, my life would be over and I would completely hate every second of it. But in the meantime, I would just kind of hope for the best and try to be his friend. I think that'd be a fun time. So, yeah, Bear's going to stick around. Wes is heading out with a early departure. It seems like Wes kind of follows a similar trajectory to, like, Ashley, where it's either, like, go all the way or go home early. If you remember, like, all those early all of the early seasons, but, like, some of the seasons that Wes has been on, he would be out in, like, the first or second elimination with, like, what was it? What were their names? Casey? Is that?
Casey, yeah. Casey? No, they made it four.
Yeah, they made it far.
And yeah, Mandy.
Their first final.
No, but
yeah, Wes and Mandy on X's.
One of them went out like super early, like twice, I think.
Yeah, no, Wes has definitely had some early exits in the past, but good. I was glad to see him stick around last season. And like we've said, you know, a few times already, this is not how Wes ends his career. So excited to, you know, get him back, whether it's next season or soon thereafter.
For sure.
Yeah. Do you guys think Wes is ever going to win again?
I can't imagine it. I mean, like, I think he's in the same boat as Bananas, personally.
Yeah. Well,
see, here's the thing, because, I mean, I am talking about all these takes about how I don't think Bananas can ever win. I don't, you know, I think all of us are on the same page that Leroy's not going to get his win. But you made a good point before that, I think Will said this, that, you know, with these team challenges, I guess anybody could really kind of stick around to the end. And if they end up on the winning team, and if we do stay in teams, that could be how somebody gets a win that otherwise would not. So I don't know. Maybe it's not out of the question if this happens again. But then again, are we really doing another team challenge anytime soon? Probably not.
That's what I was going to say, is I don't think we're getting a big team like this. And even if they do stay all the way to the final on this season, I don't see that happening again. Two seasons, you know, in close proximity. So I think Wes missed his boat on this season to potentially win.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we get a break from like the Turbos or, I don't know, Theos or some of the other strong competitors lately, no, I don't want it. but if we end up at that point, yeah, and Wes capitalizes on one of those opportunities, and maybe he can run a final with like just Bananas and Devin, and the two of those just kind of run after each other, and Wes can run his way to the end. This will be like a 5-person season that I'm talking about, but it could happen. I don't know. I'm not counting him out as much as I do count out like a Bananas or a Leroy, but I don't know. Could happen.
Yes, Wes will win the season of himself, Devin Simone, Chet Cannon, and Bananas.
Oh, don't disrespect Devin.
Yeah, not really here for much Chet Cannon on this season.
Same.
but either way, I mean, if we're getting anybody back, I don't know. Have we talked about the whole Sarah Rice stuff on the podcast?
I don't think so. I think like it's highly speculative. Don't think we have.
Yeah, so Sarah and Susie from like forever ago, they do a podcast together that's called the Brain Candy Podcast, and I found it like a year and a half ago, and I binged listened the entire thing, and then I ended up catching up in real time, and I've listened to it ever since. And they dropped some news recently that Sarah had been getting a divorce from her husband, or her ex-husband now. And now that Sarah's single and kind of trying to figure out, I guess, what her next move is, maybe the challenge is back in the cards. I don't know.
Sarah and Bear, lock it in.
Oh, no. I definitely could. Sarah loved the challenge. Like, there's no question about it. She was, you know, it was a big part of her life. She was sad to walk away from it. I don't see her jumping it back into it so quickly. I know that Susie in the past has held out for a bigger payday and has not gotten it. So that's what's kept her from coming back. Maybe if they need another Bananas rival, now that maybe Wes doesn't come back next season, maybe Devin's not back, so maybe they end up ponying up the money for Sarah, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as her just deciding overnight that she's ready for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she was obviously super scarred by the way that things ended for her last time, but I think that things, like, the reason that she stayed away wasn't just that. It was just, it seemed like things were going well for her in her personal life. It seemed like her and her husband at the time were, I think they were trying to start a family. She doesn't have any children, so things didn't really end up in that direction. But I don't know, now that she is in a new place, I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up seeing her again, and I would be here for it. There's a couple of older players that I would love to see back, but doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot of room for them these days with new rookies coming in from any different show in the world or the UK. There's just no room for anybody.
Yeah, Sarah's one that I would want to see back, but in terms of older players, it's less than I think most people would think that you actually would probably want to see back. She's one of the few that I could see fitting in like pretty easily, but I'm used to think I was dying for all the old players, and there's a few I would handpick, but I am enjoying the new crop while we're getting them, so I'm not begging for all the old players to come back so quickly.
Yeah, and Will, I actually don't know if I know the answer to this. How much of a Big Brother guy are you? If at all?
I'm a pretty big Brother guy.
Do you watch, like, all the time? I feel like you don't tweet about it, do you?
Yeah, I sort of fell off of this season.
Okay.
I just sort of got burnt out on it.
Did you watch last season?
Yeah, I watched all of last season. I watched all of going back to like season 12, I think I've watched like pretty religiously.
Okay. I feel like I don't see a whole lot of tweets from you about that. So had to ask. But if we do get any Big Brother 20 years on the next challenge, I think the main names that I've seen thrown around are Brett or Caitlin.
Brett. Big one, yeah.
Would very much be here for both of them. I don't know how Caitlin's going to separate herself from Rob's house long enough to go, but it's going to have to be done because I need to see both of them on the show.
Yeah, and I guess we might be getting Corey Brooks at some point.
Ugh.
I don't think so. Honestly, at this point, we like came so close. He was an alternate on, I think, Vendettas, and that didn't end up happening. And then they were like, all right, how about X on the Beach? And he's like, yeah, put me on anything that you'll put me on, or I'll go on literally anything. And then, you know, that season happened and there wasn't a whole lot there. So I don't know. But then again, if Chase McNary can end up being cast on a season, it's definitely still in play for Corey.
Very fair. Is it too soon to talk about Big Brother 21 potentials for the challenge?
I mean, I would love to, but I thought you weren't watching, so I wasn't sure.
I watched the first like few weeks of it.
Okay.
And I've been following, you know. I still listen to the podcast, even though I don't watch the episodes.
Right. Well, it's very obvious that Nicole is going to come through and kill all the challenges on any future season that she shows up for now that she's turned up the comp beast capabilities that she has. So excited for that one.
Unstoppable.
But I don't know. I haven't really put a whole lot of thought into this season. I guess you have like the Jack or the Jacksons out there that might naturally end up there. I mean, there was a lot of controversy. I guess this is a good place to talk about it in this past week of Big Brother 21, where Jackson Mickey was talking about how he wants to go on the challenge after Cliff was telling him about it in the backyard. And Holly was not having any of it. She was not interested in this idea of him going on a show where he's going to be surrounded by a bunch of people getting drunk and hooking up and blah blah blah. She's like, easy there, as if like they're actually going to be together for more than 5 minutes after the show. So yeah, some controversy on that end.
Yeah, they're the CBS clauses, you know, they contracts keep them in for a well over, I think it's about a year. So I don't think Holly has going to be worried about what Jackson's doing come a year from now. So I, as much as I don't want to see Jackson, could see it happen. Brett, I think you said, I think he's the best fit. Love Caitlin. Don't know how she'll fare, but we didn't think Davon would be, you know, the superstar that she was on the challenge. Who recently said that she is done with the challenge.
She's heard it never before. Said that she before. Came
back. Oh, I know, but it was like a full YouTube video she put out being like, oh, I'm done, and I just can't see myself coming back. She didn't like the way that some people handled, some of the producers handled her versus Wes at the reunion, and so ultimately would have said no to 35 anyway, but thinks she's done, or 34 anyway, but thinks she's done for the future as it stands right now. Not many from Big Brother 21 am I hoping to get on this upcoming season, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know about the challenge itself, but like, there's almost like a 95% chance that Sis will be on X on the Beach at some point in her life. Like, yep. They are bringing her to MTV in one way or another. And I don't know, maybe it's with Jack, maybe like they stay together. Because the second they get out of the house, you know, that PR person decides to grab them and says like, hey, get together for a couple months and then split up. You will get on a bunch of shows because that's exactly how it works. And I would not be surprised to see that. But yeah, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of picks out there unless we're getting like Sam. like are we
oh,
getting?
God.
Like, as I'm saying, these there are not a whole lot of great picks out there from this cast. Maybe like if we're being realistic, like a David could be like a wild card kind of choice, but I don't know, probably not. And at this point in the podcast, if Colin was actually listening to us, he's probably yelling at us to shut the heck up about Big Brother. So we probably should. But I don't have a whole lot left on. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
I'm calling it now that Banana Lease will be a thing.
great name, but terrified to see if that actually happens. Bananas and Morgan, I believe, still going strong, as far as I know.
Well, she's gotta get that fame somehow, I guess.
How dare you? So anything else before we wrap up here? Anything else from the episode, from Big Brother? Are we excited for Survivor coming back? Anything else we want to talk about while we have you here, Will?
I think I'm good. I took some melatonin like an hour ago, so I think it's finally starting to kick in, and I'm like hitting that. I'm just going to stop talking.
Okay, so we should wrap up before you fall asleep on the podcast, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Anything else we need to hit on this week, Scally?
I would say the only thing that I don't feel like was highlighted and like to a large extent was, I know we've talked about the Joss Rogan versus Bear Theo rivalry, but being how much screen time we're getting out of Joss and Rogan, considering that I believe them to be the much more boring and not TV friendly characters, I feel like they want us to be on their side, and I don't want to be. So I'm interested to see how that's going to play out. Joss was, you know, the wet noodle, not very interesting on his past seasons, even if he's a great competitor. So I'm thinking, as it stands right now, I'd be betting on that pair.
Yeah, they for sure want us to be invested in those two. If you look at like social media from the challenge, they posted a picture today that probably got like the most likes in their Instagram page history. It was just a picture of Rogan and Joss both lifting their shirts up with like 100 abs each. And then they were like, I think they're... It was hard to see what was actually going on, but I think they were in like UK boxer briefs and then their pants were like halfway down. So it was like completely like putting it out there of, here are two guys that you should be watching, and we're just going to give you everything that you want about these two. So, yeah, definitely expect them to be a big presence in this season, at least on social media. I feel justified in my Rogan takes because I kept saying about how he was going to be good in the confessionals if they ever got him back, and here he is killing it in all these confessionals. So happy to see that that's the case. But, yeah, not a whole lot else going on this week. We'll be back next week. Sorry if we did miss anything. It is a little late, and we did this right after the episode.
Wait, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I've always wanted to interrupt someone trying to end the podcast. I think you had said on your preseason podcast, or maybe the episode one podcast, talking about like who Rogan's vendetta was. And I feel like it was Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And because I just remember him saying, like, I hate Rogan. But we haven't gotten any of that. So I wonder if they just sort of patched that up. I don't have anything else to add. I just wanted to do that impression of Kyle.
I'm glad you did, because I wouldn't have been able to do it as well. And I wouldn't have tried. But yes, there wasn't a whole lot from them at the time, especially since Rogan was out like within seconds into that season. And I guess it's just not something important enough to bring up here, especially like you said, if they've patched things up, if things are going well, there's no point to even bring it up. So
yeah, I shouldn't have.
No, not you. I'm saying there's no point for the show to bring it up. But I don't know. Maybe that'll come into play later in the season. And we'll get down to Joss having to pick between his two boys. Hard to tell. But yeah, that's all I think. Unless Will has anything else to jump in with, that's all we've got for this week. So, Will, where can people be checking you out on social media if they're not already?
People can follow me on Twitter at Will from America and follow me on Tumblr. At I don't remember.
If you're being serious, send me your Tumblr link and I will go follow you if my account still exists.
I think I last posted in maybe 2014, but if I remember it, I'll definitely send it your way.
Okay, and I will definitely look through all of it because I love Tumblr and love going through it. It's a great time. Scally, any Tumblr links or anything else otherwise?
No, can't say I have a Tumblr link to be plugging this week, but. You know, the usual Twitter at Brian_Scally, Brian with an I. That's it.
All right. And I was informed by Colin that we do not have to be plugging Dom and Colin's social media every week, because if you're listening to this and you still don't know their social media, then that's crazy. But those are my words, not Colin. So, yep. Follow me if you are not on Twitter at Matt Liguori. And we will be back next week for another episode of The Challenge. And until then, take care, everybody.